Hi, I'm Via Skinner, coordinator for campus communications, and welcome to HCC 360. Many students of Hartford Community College take part in a program we call service learning. They are taking what they have learned in the classroom and applying it to hands-on experiences and volunteer opportunities all around the area. WHFC student intern Mohammed Bangora sat down with Professor John Donahue to learn more about the service learning program at HCC. Let's get into it.
Well, thank you for coming in today. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at HCC?
Okay. Yep. So I am an associate professor of anthropology and sociology. I've been at HCC full-time since 2011. I'm also the coordinator for service learning, and I've been working on that for several years. Another colleague of mine who has moved on to other things, who is in our sociology program, I worked with her, and I've been working to kind of further service learning and really get it established as an entity that can grow on campus. And, mm-hmm. and I've been doing that with our dean, Tony Vollers, and my colleague, Jan Brewer, who is, again, not at HCC anymore. She's the person who had worked on this for a while before I even came here.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Tell me what service learning is.
Service learning is, one thing mm-hmm. I can tell you is what it's not. It's not just volunteering or community service. Mm-hmm. It's also not just I guess some of your listeners might know the term like active learning or experiential learning, mm-hmm. where students get out into the community or do hands-on things instead of just taking notes and listening to a lecture or something. Right. Like in my classes, I teach social and anthro. I have my students actively go out and observe people on campus instead of just listening to me talk about what it is. That's active. That's experiential learning. Mm-hmm. And with service learning, it really incorporates the two of those together. So you can't really have one without the other. So you have to have both components. So it's...
the best of both worlds, really.
That's a good way to put it. I like that. The best of both worlds. It's incorporating that that community service, but in service to learning and vice versa. So the learning is also in service to helping community partners, and they're really very closely tied together. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
What's some examples of service learning then? What kind of things do y'all do in that program? How do y'all approach people saying like, okay, this is not active learning, this is not...
Or experiential learning.
Experiential learning. Yeah. You know, how do y'all make that clear that this is something different that we're trying to do?
Yeah, well, I don't think we actively go out to faculty and staff and say, this is not service learning.
I'm
kind of here to help guide them in case they have that question. Mm-hmm. Like if a faculty member is, I'm not sure this is going to fit as service learning, what do you think? And listening to say how it meets test, for example, student learning objectives, but also reaches out to the community. I'm there to say, yeah, I think this is an excellent example, and here's why. I'm not there to say, no, you can't do this. That's mm-hmm. I hope no one thinks that, because I don't have that kind of power. Mm-hmm. I will never have that kind of power. So, and I'm not seeking that kind of power. Mm-hmm. But for service learning, and in a sense, it's important to distinguish for yourself what it is, because we do offer a limited amount of funding for faculty who would like to implement service learning projects in their courses, but need funding, mm-hmm. Like paying for supplies or transportation or things like that. Mm-hmm. Or I might be there to try and figure out, okay, so here's this discipline and I'm not really sure, this is not my area of expertise, but mm-hmm. I can work with you to try and figure out what you're trying to do. How does this fit this model of service and learning at the same time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you kind of like go to them and you kind of like bridge the gap between your objective and their expertise.
Yeah, Or they might come to me and yeah. we can kind of figure that out.
Vice versa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is a direct approach and what type of projects are there for service learning?
Okay. So there are, to answer that question, what is a direct approach to it? There are four major types of direct approaches, and I'm looking at my papers for like the examples that I want to give. But mm-hmm. there's a direct approach, which is basically probably what people think of most often when they think of community service, which is, say, helping, say, people who are specifically in need. So you're helping not just community partners, but their clients directly.
Mm-hmm.
Some examples might be, say, tutoring students or working at a nursing home or serving people, say, at a soup kitchen or a homeless shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if you're doing that, you have to figure out how is that meeting the objectives of a specific lesson or a specific course that is being taught. So working at a nursing home, you might be learning about,
geriatrics.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, like nursing care in a geriatric environment or something like that. So that would be a good example of that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe tutoring might be for an education class.
Yeah, like trying to be I forget what it's called. Like, if you want to be a teacher, you know what I'm saying? We're going to go out, we're going to go tutor people. I guess you could tutor people at, like, different ages, I mm-hmm. guess.
Yeah.
Just gaining that experience of applying what you learned in a classroom in a real environment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, stuff like that. The next type is an indirect approach. And instead of, say, working directly with people in need, you're kind of assisting the community partner itself. So the community partner, for example, might be like, the example that pops in my mind is Our Daily Bread, which is in Baltimore City.
Mm-hmm.
They are a direct service kind of, like, full service, that's the word I was looking for. Not really a soup kitchen, because instead of, like, where a person would get in line and get food and then sit down, their volunteers every day, and they have them every day, would act kind of as wait staff in a sense and mm-hmm. seat people and kind of give them that dignity that they don't often get in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And last time I worked with them, wasn't even at HCC, I was teaching a service learning course at CCBC
mm-hmm.
in Catonsville, and like many years ago. But I imagine it has not changed, except I'm trying to remember. A majority of people I come in are not homeless. They're actually, they have roofs over their heads. They're just trying to figure out, okay, do I pay the rent or do I pay for food?
Mm.
Okay, well, I have to pay the rent. So where am I going to get food? I don't know their statistics today. I imagine it's still the case that most people are still housed but need food.
Mm. And y'all just kind of just help them provide a level of sustainability, so they don't have to make that incredibly hard decision, you know?
Right. Or that's what Our Daily Bread would do. And
okay, yeah.
So that'd be direct. So a service learning project with helping them would be direct service learning. Indirect, and I always take the scenic route to answer these kinds of questions.
Uh-huh.
Apologies to my students out there. instead, you would be helping Our Daily Bread in mm-hmm. some other way. You'd be partnering them and maybe helping them procuring supplies or something, but it wouldn't be where you would be working directly with mm-hmm. their clients, so that kind of thing. So also maybe building houses or restoring buildings or something like that would be mm-hmm. an example of indirect service learning, planning community gardens, community cleanups, ecosystem restorations, stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
Recording community landmarks.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
The next one would be, and this is something that I have my students do. It's just one example of that. It's like advocacy service learning. So with that, you're making the public more aware of issues that are critical to the community around you. That's usually on behalf of some kind of community partner. So it could be a letter writing campaign. It could be getting out the word about a community partner,
mm-hmm.
working to craft legislation with elected officials. One example that I have, and I know this is available on ALNET for faculty, would be an example that I've used in my social problems class. I teach social problems in person every fall along with Professor Nina Craven, and I also teach it online in the fall and the spring and the summer. And the project that I have my service learning students do for that class in the fall is they're working on behalf of the food pantry on campus. And a lot of students on campus, most students, in fact, do not know that we even have a food pantry.
I didn't know.
Now you know.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm glad I spread that word there.
Mm-hmm. Nice advocacy.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Shout out to Laura Burke, who manages the food pantry, who's the director of the food pantry. And I've worked with her to get my students there to find out what the food pantry is, what it does. And it's not just a resource for people that are food insecure, but it's there for people who are just hungry on campus, period. What my students do is they do research about food insecurity, not so much at HCC, but on college campuses, because college students, and that includes both 2- and 4-year colleges, do often face food insecurity, especially at a 2-year college. So they do research on this. They find out what kind of resources are available to students and their families, and even faculty and staff could be food insecure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just for students. I want to point that out. It's primarily students that would seek it out, but it's not just for them. It is just the campus community. Mm-hmm. I will say that much.
But there just happens to be so much more of us than there are of you.
Right.
So.
Right. Exactly. Yes. And what they do is they create presentations. They have to give them in class. They have to talk about sociological theory and stuff like that. But it has to be in a user-friendly format that they can take to other classes to say, hey, this is food insecurity. This is a problem. Here's HCC's solution, or one of them, our food pantry.
Mm-hmm.
And I require them to present not just in class, but they have to go to two other classes, regardless of what the subject matter is. So mm-hmm. my students have presented in, say, everything from sociology classes to some music classes, ceramics class, psychology. So it's just to get the word out to students that, hey, there is this resource. And usually most of the students in the classes where they go have no idea that this is a thing. So it really is something that if they don't need it, maybe they can tell someone else who needs it.
Yeah, so most definitely.
One more plug for the food pantry. It doesn't just have, say, cans and boxes of things.
Mm-hmm.
They work very hard to get, say, a refrigerator. So they actually have refrigerated things that could spoil in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I went, I took a class that they had lots of things of yogurt, for example. They also have everything from dental supplies like toothbrushes, dental floss, to tampons, to Kleenexes. I donated a few cans of cat food in case someone has an animal that they need that. So a whole array of
mm-hmm.
things.
That's yeah. awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What about the research approach?
Ah, so the research based approach kind of ties the other three together in a sense. I like to say, and this is me teaching sociology here on a macro level.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at kind of systemic issues that affect clients and community partners that have clients. So going, I guess, a couple steps above, say, working with people who are food insecure, or working with a community partner, or telling the public about, hey, here's this food pantry here. They do good stuff. You need to know about this. But kind of maybe researching issues that deal with them. And you can kind of see already how, okay, well, what's the difference between advocacy and research-based service learning? It kind of integrates, in a sense, with all of those.
I feel like to know how to effectively advocate, you need to do your research and know the numbers of how to spread it and what the best way of that is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So another thing might be creating brochures. It's already that kind of ties in with other things I've talked about. Translating things, researching local ecosystems. That's a project that some students of mine several years ago, pre-COVID, developed for themselves. They worked at a local park to try and figure out, say, the sources of litter and where it was coming from, who was depositing it, and in doing so, they needed to find out more about environmental issues. It was a sociology course, so they were coming from a sociology perspective, but I mean, you could easily come at this from an earth sciences perspective or looking at, say, ecosystems. So that was really kind of that macro level, mm-hmm. in a sense. Yeah.
Do you ever look at the micro level as well? Or does it depend on the project?
Oh, it would depend on the project, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What's an example of a a smaller based project where you would have to look at that?
I would say probably it would be one where you're working, say, one-on-one with individuals, say. Well, here might be a good example. Professor who taught engineering worked with local companies to have her students design items that people might be able to use, like people who were, say, physically disabled, to custom design things for them.
That's cool. Yeah. That's perfect. Yeah, one-on-one.
Yeah. So that would be a great example of that.
Can you name some of the community partners?
Some of the community...
I know you named some like before, but like, can you name a few more?
Yeah. Let's see. Professor Jones. That's right. So Chris Jones,
the math guy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So he has worked with the food pantry in the past, but another example that I'm looking at right now, he's worked with the Hartford Art Center. One description he gave us is for Intro to Statistics. He worked with Hartford Art Center to organize and characterize their volunteer database. And students applied knowledge that they learned in an Intro to Statistics course to organize and summarize the database that housed info for over 150 volunteers spanning approximately a decade. So that's another community partner. Professor Ben Fissler in our theater program has also worked with local theaters in around Harford County, as well as the theater department here. And he's had students who have learned about theater, but also by volunteering with various local community theaters. So they're learning about the aspects of theater and things like that, but also doing service to the community. One quote, and I didn't have a lot of quotes. We were trying to find quotes that students had about what they thought about service learning, and we don't have any. We didn't ask anybody to give any. And students have said things in their papers like, this helped me really kind of change. That's a really important part of service learning, I just want to point out. You have to have some kind of reflection from the student who's doing it. It's not just, I volunteered, that's it, I'm done with this project. Mm-hmm. But no, how does it affect you as someone who took part in it? What did you learn about yourself? What did you learn about the world? What did you learn about theater or nursing or biology or sociology or math or anything like that? Professor Fissler gave me a quote, told me this is something he emailed me yesterday. Hi, John. So his student, Sabrina, wrote she was ecstatic that she was given the opportunity to work with such a creative and talented cast and crew, such as the one that she did. She was working along with the cast and crew for the production of Next to Normal here at HCC. But, I mean, to point that out, it's very – service learning can help us not just with community partners outside of campus, but even can help us in our own Hartford family, too.
Early when you mentioned the pandemic, you think that the pandemic allowed y'all to like restart and like redirect what y'all were doing with the future of the program, since everybody was kind of given like that pause?
I think so. Yeah, I think it forced us to do that, whether we wanted it or not. Like some things kind of became less of immediate priorities. Mm-hmm. Sadly, other connections kind of went by the wayside, but it did help to kind of focus on, okay, what can we do first? What can we build up first? Well, we can build up how faculty can seek us as a resource to use to incorporate service learning into their courses. And if they are doing it already, and lots of people have been doing it for a while, so it's not like they need me to start or something. Mm-hmm. I would love to hear about that. It's one thing our advisory board is trying to do is build, say, a database of service learning activities so that other faculty who might come in, especially if they're brand new to the school and are interested, might look at that and think, I have no idea what I'm doing. I know it's a cool thing. What can I do? Oh, here's a database of things that my colleagues have done in the past. And we also talk to each other to find out what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But this is also something that I think would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. That would probably help y'all get funding too. I mean, you got the numbers right in front of people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's also a thing that we're hoping to do with it. Mm-hmm. Say, well, here are all these faculty using this. Here, all the students have taken part. we need more resources in order to build this up more. Mm-hmm. Like, I have not specifically needed funds for my service learning activities, but other people definitely do.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of why we have that that pool of funding if a faculty member might apply for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess you kind of touched on it, but I mean, how do you work to improve the student service program? Short term, what do you plan on doing? Because we talked about long term a lot.
Yeah, well, short term, we plan to get service learning incorporated directly into more honors courses, and also, I am hoping to get word out to different divisions on campus to let them know we're working on getting out our list of community partners
mm-hmm.
that will be very helpful for faculty who don't know anybody in the community, like especially if they've just moved here from somewhere else in the country. I don't know anyone in Harford County. What can I do? So that would help them. So that's kind of the immediate thing, I guess, the most immediate thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just to collect more, I guess, data about who is using it, how many people are using it, and what different creative ways people are using it for.
Mm-hmm. So where can somebody go to get more information on service learning?
For faculty, we do have it's an ALNET channel. Let's see, that's under the instruction tab on ALNET. We also have information on our public-facing website, and... Or you can just do a search on harford.edu for service learning. It will take you to, say, service learning on mm-hmm. HCC's website. So that's a way for people who don't have access to the instruction channel on ALNET to access it to find out more stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, John, for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mo. You have, thank you for having me, and yeah, thanks. You have a lovely day.
Yeah, no problem. Have a better one.
Cool.
Thanks for being with us. In case you missed the contact information, here it is again. For more information about the Service Learning Program, visit www.harford.edu. and enter Service Learning in the search bar. You can get in touch with Professor John Donahue by emailing jodonahue@harford.edu. Special thanks go to Mohammed Bangora for conducting the interview and to our editor, Renee Scuddy. I'm Via Skinner, and HCC 360 will be back next month with another deep dive into amazing opportunities at Harford Community College. Thanks for listening.